anybody who goes missing or is murdered, their energy is so strong to be found because their job is to come back, to let their families know that they're okay. And I have to say this too, which is really important, because when we run into, unfortunately, the sex trafficking aspect of the world, there are a lot of people who might have passed that don't know where they are. No one ever thinks that either, because you're in a new area, you're in a new terrain, you could be in another country, you could be wherever. So there's a component to that that makes it difficult to find them, because truly their energy, their spirit doesn't know where they are. But we do our best to try to assist with that.
My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual world. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Welcome back to The Skeptic Metaphysician. Will, you know, if you've listened to the show, we've spoken to a few psychic mediums and channels on the show over the last several weeks. But today's guest is not just any psychic medium. The very best way to introduce her is for me to probably read directly from her website so I don't miss a thing. But she's a psychic medium, an author, and a successful radio show host who's been a practicing medium for over 18 years. She conducts private readings and consults as a psychic investigator, using her expertise on missing person cases for private investigators, individual families, and national missing persons organizations. Her book titled Listen Up, The Other Side is Talking has won the International Honor of the Mom's Choice Award and the Reader's Favorite Book Award, and is currently available through her website, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all of the other major book-selling websites. I'm sure you are just as anxious as I am to hear what my guest has to say. So without further ado, I'd love to welcome Kelly Sutliff to the show. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, thanks, Will. Thanks for having me.
I am super excited to have you on the show today. As I do with all my guests, I do some research on you beforehand, and each and every guest that I get, I've been unbelievably blessed to have some wonderful people, and you are certainly one of my favorites so far. As I understand it, your work really focuses on clients whose lives are kind of at a crossroads, right? They're experiencing some sort of unresolved issues or grief. They might be dealing with loss in some way, and you offer them comfort, inspiration, closure, things like that. And I definitely want to talk about all that. But
sounds perfect.
I know my audience, and I know that their ears absolutely perked up at the sound of one thing in your intro, and that is psychic investigations.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah, and we've not had the opportunity to talk to someone who does this before on the show. So I've got to ask you, what can you tell us about what you do in the psychic investigations world?
Well, you know what? As a psychic medium, I channel information, right? So if you were to come to a reading with me, I give psychic information, which is stuff about your life, that kind of thing. And then as a medium, I connect with the other side. So people who have passed to give me messages. So there's a lot of psychics that don't do psychic investigative work. I fell upon this. And when you're a psychic medium, like, listen, no one grows up and says, hey, you know what, Kelly, you know, I raised my hand. I want to be the psychic medium, right? Because it goes against deity. It goes against life. It goes against society. You have to constantly prove yourself, right? But what happened in my story is, you know what, things just fall into your lap. And I was given a case about 11 or 12 years ago, and they said, can you work on this? And it was a missing persons case out of Detroit, Michigan. And this woman had gone to church on a Tuesday night at St. Paul's Church in Crows Point. And I got called a week later to do this reading. So I threw my hat in the ring to see if I could find her. And what happened was, like I said, a lot of psychics don't do this work because it's heavy stuff. I mean, you see things, you feel things, you see if someone's been murdered, you see maybe data around that. You are given, you know, the other flip side of information that comes through when people are not missing. We just got to find them. So when I do work a case, and I can go back to that original case because that's pretty powerful. What I do is I go in and I call it my psychic press release. So I answer the who, what, when, where, how of this person. And I can tell in the link when I'm connecting of whether or not this person is past or not. That's that mediumship piece that I blend in. And if they're past, if they're the one giving me the information, or if it's going to be, or if it's more psychic information that's coming from where may they might be. I will tell you this much, in our society this last year, due to riots, due to protesting, I've had a plethora of missing persons cases due to things happening in the country. Traditionally, normally, I do 1 to 2 missing persons per month. In 9 weeks, I did 17.
Wow. 1 to 2 a month is, I would think, a lot to begin with. 17, that just seems odd. What would you think would be the reason for that?
Well, I'll tell you where they were. They were in Portland, Seattle, LA, New York, a lot of them Chicago. And there was a lot of sex trafficking going on and a lot of people being taken and a lot of defunding from the police. And with that being said, there was families who, in examples in Portland, who couldn't get a proper investigation with departments there because they couldn't get in the city. So they were calling psychics. So everybody I know who do missing persons work as psychic mediums, everybody got an uptick in this field because of that genre. So the dynamics of what was going on with the country.
Wow.
So what people have to realize is that I have a lot of detectives I work with around the country because I learned a long time ago when I present information, it's much better for me to present it with a detective that I know to push it in through versus me calling, hey, I got information for you. And they're like, oh, psychic on line 9 again. Okay. Crazy bird.
Right,
so,
right.
So I've learned that over the years, like how to do it the right way.
Right.
And what happens though, is these, you know, families are desperate. And so I would be desperate too if my child was gone. And they wanted help. And so I gave information for the family to give to a detective to take it and see if they could find these people. And I can say some were found, some weren't. There's also this other capacity that we have that's gone on due to COVID with missing people is many people are just leaving. They're leaving their houses. They're not taking their medicines. They're not getting the care they need. Mental illness is huge. People are taking off and they can't be found. The sex trafficking aspect of things. Now, listen, I've done this for 10 years. When I first started, sex trafficking wasn't as common. I would say sex trafficking revolving my investigations is pretty huge now. So that's showing you the unfortunate trend in society and what's happening and the awareness that needs to be done with that. But it's part of my world. When I get a case, you know, I'll work on a case and I do all that data. I write it all out. I give information. I see what I see. And then I consult with the family or the person who's looking to find the missing. And then what happens is we blend again with the information and I connect psychically with them energetically to get more information. Then what it takes from there is then I still continue working on it. So I look at components. I look at information like that. I've worked with collaboratives. So there's actually psychics out there that work as a collaborative. We worked with a group a few years back with Boston University, and we worked as a group where we would get given by detectives cold cases or current cases, and we would all just get simple information. When we work on a case, the only information I want is the person's name, the person's birth date, a picture of them, last location where they were last seen, and that's it. So I'm only given four or five pieces of information. And then I go in blind to the link to give the data. So what amazed me when we work as a collaborative with other psychic mediums who do this work, we're all given the same information on a case. What happens is when you get the information and you all share later, it's so consistent. So that shows me how spirit works with us to blend it, to make it happen. And when I first started my first case, the woman that went missing was Joanne Matuk Romaine. And she recently, they just did a series on her on Unsolved Mysteries called Lady in the Lake. It's been, you know, the series wasn't done really how it should have been done. But thank God, over 100, 200 media outlets covered it the proper way. The local series that was done in Detroit, Michigan covered this awesome series that won a huge media award for its investigation. So in this case, there was, and it's kind of funny, but this is how this happens with mediums and psychics will tell you this. When oftentimes before you get a reading, sometimes spirit can show up a little bit earlier and they forget the time zone and they show up. So the week of when I did that reading after Joanne was missing, I was cooking in my kitchen, loved to cook, and making dinner. And all of a sudden I saw a flash, and this flash was like a small person. Dark hair, long dark hair. I thought it was a teenager. And I was like, well, my phone's going to ring. Someone's going to come in for a reading because I saw a spirit. So just go back to my normal bits, doing my thing. That night, I got a call from actually Joanne's brother saying, my sister's missing. Can you help me? Someone referred me to you. Can you help me? And following day, I gave information on this case for an hour and a half. So gave a lot of data points, possibly who was involved with it, names, real specific. Because that's how it is. And they kept saying that this person committed suicide because across from St. Paul's Church was a waterway and across a road. And they kept saying that she had committed suicide. The police went off on that. They did an investigation right away. All red flags, huge red flags by the investigation by the police department, by what occurred. And she did not commit suicide. So she was murdered. So following month, I follow up on the information I gave to the daughters. And when I did so, in that case, I said to her and I said to them, your mom is going to be found in springtime. Now, I read in January, she's going to be found in springtime. I see a bridge, people fish there. There's what do you call a waterway. I'm seeing the other side of the river. She's been dumped. She's been murdered. She didn't commit suicide. And I got a call on March 20th, the first day of spring, she was found, two fishermen found her by the bridge, by where I said she would be. And several coroners ruled her death as a dry death, which means that when someone is thrown into the water, they've been killed first and they have no water in their lungs.
Right, right.
So it couldn't be suicide. So there was so much data, so much information that came through on that case. I look at this work as I'm just the conduit to give the information off, and the families and the detectives have to take it and run with it. I will say this much, as much sometimes pushback I get from police departments or information, they all take the information because it's a cold case, so they don't have the information. All these police officers are extremely psychic. You couldn't be a cop or do a beat if you're not, right? But the ego steps in. But you know what? As many of the detectives I've worked with, especially one that he always says, boy, you know what? Every detective needs a psychic on a case and a detective. And if we'd had that, we'd solve cases more quickly.
That would make for an interesting new take on Lethal Weapon or something like that, huh? The buddy cop type of.
Mm-hmm, truly.
Oh, so I got to ask, what is your typical success rate on something like this? You've talked to people who are mediums or channels and, you know, they get some things right, some things wrong. How often are you able to find folks?
You know, I've never been asked that, but I will say this. I'm really accurate, and it's up to the people to investigate it. And I have found several families have testaments to my work. Hmm. There's a component that when we give information, just so people understand, sometimes the information will come in choppy. It's not like, hey, Joe Schmo's over on, you know, Carter Lane at this house. We can get visuals. We can get visuals of that. We can get the name Carter. You can get different details, right, of things. And it's like a puzzle. You got to put it together. So then what happens is you look at a map. You look at a map and then you say, oh, okay, look, there's Carter over there. And then you zoom in. Look at the map. And then I see the components. And maybe by Google Maps, as I'm looking at things, the terrain I saw looks similar. So you know what? Then that's a pocket that we need to look in and search in. So there's a recent case I did in Littleton, Colorado, and Graham was his name, and he went missing. And the details in the sense where I said the mother contacted me, and I gave her lots of information on how to get the media involved, how to do things, how to keep the media alive on your case. That's the best thing any family can do, is keep media involved to get to one and go above people when you're not getting the results, like right. Contact the mayor of a town, contact state agencies if you're not getting the results from your detectives. I mean, you go above to make this happen. So I was contacted by her. And right away, Graham came through, knew he was passed. I gave information. He had a head injury and he was living in a group home and went missing. And I gave information what was going on in the group home beforehand. We zeroed in on areas that he used to go to. This one lake, I went right to it where I felt he would be. He kept showing me his boots. Now that's when I say quinky dink kind of things that come through, and a red blanket as an example. So they go to search to this place and they find his boots. Then someone the week before had seen a red blanket in the water. Now this is wintertime in Colorado. So the family finds the evidence that he's giving me and all the rather other stuff that I had given, but those are just some specifics. So see how it works. It's like quirky things that come through, but that's so evidential.
Right.
So when they went there, The family had a hard time, unfortunately, because the detectives didn't take it all seriously. And then it became bureaucratic of the fire departments can go in and search. Oh, I don't know, it might be risky, but then they drone it, they find him, and they go in to get him. And unfortunately, in this case, they brought the wrong equipment and they lost his body. And then the next day had to go back and do it the right way. And I read for this family 3 weeks beforehand. So for 3 weeks, they could have had those results if the authorities would have taken it serious as they should. So unfortunately, in this whole process, because of defunding, as with what's happened in our world, because departments had lots of money back in the day prior to 9/11 for funding for all searches, for departments, that kind of thing. Everything got defunded after 9/11 to protect our borders. So it's hard, percentages-wise, it's gone way down for things getting solved. So that's where psychics come in and families come in, and you know, that's what we help. But within all of that, which is really unique to this, is that, you know what, when I have given closure to families and connecting that way, in my world, it's like getting the Academy Award because of what I've helped. And I always say to everybody, you know what, I don't really work for the families, I work for the dead on the other side.
I read that on your website. That's a perspective that I've not seen before. And that's actually, I would think, very accurate, because you're trying to find them, or you're trying to give their families closure, right?
Right. And anybody who goes missing or is murdered, their energy is so strong to be found, because their job is to come back, to let their families know that they're okay. And I have to say this too, which is really important, because when we run into, unfortunately, the sex trafficking aspect of the world, there are a lot of people who might have passed that don't know where they are. No one ever thinks that either, because you're in a new area, you're in a new terrain, you could be in another country, you could be wherever. So there's a component to that that makes it difficult to find them, because truly their energy, their spirit doesn't know where they are. But we do our best to try to assist with that. So there can be some form of closure. But all the evidence that I give somehow always fits, whether it be a year later or evidence shows up later. Mm-hmm. It's pretty powerful.
So you bring up a good point that no one's brought up before. Also, the fact that you're talking to people on the other side, and they don't know where they are. It's got to be quite a shock. Is it something that suddenly now you know everything, so it's not as much of a shock? I'm not sure. On your website, you say that you help provide closure and you help folks they're in their crossroads. Those are the people that are on this side of things. But do you feel that you have gotten an Academy Award because you've helped someone on the other side?
Yeah, it does. Because what happens is their vibration becomes higher, if that makes sense. Hmm. I often describe, if you want to call it the other side or heaven or wherever people choose to use that word, of where they go after they die. I often describe it as it's the vibration, like if you ever had a child and you hold your baby for the first time, that's what heaven feels like. That's where they are. You can't describe that. You can't put that in words, right? It's just something. Wow, right? So that's where we all go. That's that vibration. That's that energy. So when I link in with people and I'm able to give information to answer your question, they're in that vibration, but there's a confusion because they're trying to make this right. It's like kind of a little it's panicky. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you're lost, or, you know, you're driving and your GPS takes you down the wrong road, right? Keeping it simple. That's where it is. So when we're able to give information the whole time I'm working, I can sense their vibration changing. And sometimes cases go on a long time and they're not solved, like the Joanne's case. But still, whenever I connect in with that family, boy, does that evidence come through strongly. And it gets more specific, or it gets more data, or there's more evidence, or there's more exposure of things of really what's going to come. That's how I can and say to you, I can only feel that, you know what I mean, and describe it to the family. But you know what? I can say this much. The families who I have read are extremely grateful, appreciative, and we connect always, like we still connect, you know what I mean, if there's ever anything else. So there's a validation, and that's an important piece, that so many missing people, there's 2,500 people a day in our country that go missing. People don't realize that. That can be people from certainly the cases we're talking about, but can also be people who have Alzheimer's and leave, or people who want to be missing, that too. But that's our statistic here in the United States. I am sure that has gone up dramatically after this past year.
I assume it's because of the reasons you mentioned earlier on, because of the lockdowns and
people just leaving, COVID issues, mental issues, sex trafficking.
So how can you differentiate when just random things that just pop into your mind turn into, oh, this is something I need to tell the family or the investigators?
Okay. So here's the easiest way to do it. Everybody has psychic ability. Everybody can massage it to work with it. We're kind of silly if we don't work with our psychic ability. It's like our best friend. It's our intuition. It's our thought. It's our gut instinct. It's mother instinct. It's father instinct, right? That's psychic. And so everyone's using it every day anyways, usually. Best way to do this, I say this to my clients all the time, is when you ask a question to spirit, when I say spirit, your past loved ones or who your guides, however you want to call it, that first thought you get is your answer. That's them talking to you, whatever that thought is. Here's the next greatest tool, okay, that I'm allowed to share with you, which is awesome. When you want to connect with a loved one, you say, okay, I want to connect with my father. And you are going to give your father a sign to give to you. You're going to say, okay, Dad, I want to know that you're okay today. I want to see a yellow lamp. Give me a yellow lamp today. You will walk into Home Goods. You'll see three of them. You'll hear the word yellow. Your wife will come in and say, oh, I just bought some new lamps today. So this is how you connect with spirit. This is the easiest way. Signs, symbols, music is the best link that you can make to generate more psychic ability and intuition and trusting. But that's a super easy way that spirit connects with us. We all get so busy. We're not quiet. That's why people oftentimes have dreams all the time, and they'll feel their loved ones come through, because that's when you're most quiet. You're not on the phone. You're not on a conference call. You're not driving the kids to practice. This is where what you got to learn to be quiet. And signs are often the greatest, a big hit, all right? Easy hit. The response is huge when you do that. And I always say, make your signs obscure, you know, so one, you remember them, and two, it's hard for them. Oh, I can't stand it when people are like, oh, I saw a red cardinal. Oh my God, the cardinal. They must be exhausted. They're so overused. Do you know what I mean? Okay, stop with the cardinals is what I want to say. Unless your dad was a cardinal fan. If somebody was like, yeah, exactly. Or somebody was a cardinal fan, then use a cardinal. Really, you truly have to remember to just, you know what? Keep it simple. Like spirit is really simple. Everybody thinks this is so complicated. And it sounds kind of funny because of my world, it should be complicated, but it's not. But it really is really simple. I mean, we're born, we live, we die, and then we come back and communicate. So that's really the four stages there.
Right.
And like I said before, that's everyone's job on the other side. Their souls have to come back and say, hey, I made it. I'm good. You know, I love you much. I know you're stressed. I know this is going on. So that's really where you have to say, okay, if you just keep it simple, it is simple. You know, nobody has to be in the perfect room and have the music on and all that other stuff. I mean, you wouldn't do that normally if you were having a conversation with anybody, right? Oh, let me set the mood before I make a phone call. Yeah, you know what I mean?
When I was in my, you know, teens or something, but maybe not.
Possibly. Yeah, right. Possibly.
It's fascinating. The whole ghosting freaks people out, right? So in this particular case, it's someone who's passed, and my fear is that I don't want to feel someone over my shoulder all the time, right? Is that how it is? You feel their presence all the time around, or is it just when can you turn it on and turn it off?
Well, you know what? I learned a long time ago that you have to have boundaries with this work, right? Probably the only time I'm really on more so is when I'm doing a case, because evidence will come through with lots of examples here and there, and it'll kind of boink me on the head.
So you're more open to it during those times.
Yeah. But I make myself be that way. Okay. Right. But you know, if I were to do a reading for somebody, I open up with a prayer and a meditation. So we link, I give the information, and then I do another prayer and we close off. So you have a mantra, a beginning, middle, end. And when you work in this, you can't, as a psychic medium, I've been doing this for 18 years, you can't be on all the time, because what happens is, can you imagine going to the grocery store?
No, okay. Yeah, that's my point. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And that's where you have to realize that, just like, and this is the other piece that's important for the public to understand, we're normal. I just have this gift that I talk to the dead, or I can know things about you that are going to happen. We live normal lives. You know what I mean? You're not on all the time. So when people say, oh, what are you thinking about me? Oh my God. Or what's my lottery numbers? Oh my God, please stop. Okay. Right, you know, I could probably give the lottery numbers, but I don't. Okay.
Really?
I put boundaries, because that's like not fair. Right.
Right.
So,
but now that I know.
But have I consulted with people on stocks? Yes. Financial people have called me to work with stocks, or look at this or look at that. Sure.
No, is that not fair?
I just give it. I don't use it though. I just give it back.
So then if I asked you for lottery numbers, you're just giving it to me, right? You wouldn't use it.
Right. I wouldn't. I don't. No, boundaries. It's like, you know, I'm like, I listen, 12 years Catholic school. Come on. You know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah.
If you don't have boundaries, and what I find in the industry, if people don't have boundaries and they're on all the time, guess what happens? Psychic mediums get sick a lot. They're exhausted. They don't read accurately because of that. I always say, you know what, just like an accountant works 9 to 5, right? Except during tax season, you know, this is the same thing. Psychic mediums, we have boundaries too. So we have our time on and time off. But not to say that I can go someplace and feel something, or be when the Sutliffs went over to Ireland to go travel in England, and we stayed in some crazy castles, you know what I mean? And picked up all that vibe. We didn't see spirit or feel spirit in haunted places. And so, you know what? Yeah. I mean, that's part of who we are, but it's also the space where you look at, you can't live that way either. I'm not a big, some people are in the genre where they chase after ghosts and do that kind of thing. When I've done it one or two times, I'm like, oh, I'm crossing these people over. You know what I always say? If you live in a home that's haunted, does that ghost pay the mortgage? No. Why is that ghost there? It had its time here. You got to help it lend itself to go into the light. It's a soul that's caught. And I lived in New England, in Boston for 26 years, right? Really old, old, old part of the country. I lived in Andover, Mass. We had more part of the Salem Witch Trials than anybody. And there was constantly energy or things you would see, or I would hate the fact when my kids would have soccer in Salem. I'm like, oh, I got to go into Salem. And right away, I would be panicking. The energy, okay, the dark energy. Yeah. And it was just crazy stuff. I'll just share the story real quick. So one time a friend of mine said, Kelly, let's go on this ghost hunt. Let's go. There's going to be all these famous people. We're going to go. And they all had these shows. And so we went, and it was in Haverhill, Massachusetts, in an old museum behind a cemetery. And all these old buildings were there on this land. And I'm like, oh my God, Linda, you know what? Okay, we'll go. So we go, and everyone's got their EVP stuff, and we have nothing. I'm just going to go. But we would constantly picking up things and seeing spirit. So we go into this one room, and it was kind of cool because the curator was there, and the curator would tell you what really went on historically in time and different things with when people were picking up on things. So I go into this one room, and I see a little girl, 5, little, in the corner. She's crying. I see that. Literally, I can see it, visualize it, see it back. It's way back in time. And she's holding her head, and she's asking for her mother. And I can feel her running. So I raise my hand to the curator, and I'm, as a mother, I'm like, go into the light, go into the light. Your mother's there. Go into the light. Go, 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 go. You know what I mean? Sending her love, sending her God's love, go into the light, crossing her over, trying to. So I said to the curator, I said, I'm seeing a little girl, and she's American Indian. And she's 5, and she's holding her head, and she's running fast, and she's looking for her mother. Why am I getting this? What's going on? Why is this? The curator proceeds to tell us that back then, in colonial times, they used to hunt children, and they used to kill them with rocks. So this is a spirit child stuck. So I cross this child over. You have to remember, back way back when, everything was very puritanical, right? If you looked at your neighbor the wrong way, you were going to hell. If you did anything worse than that, you were going to hell. Everything was black and white. There was heaven and there was hell. And if you did anything wrong, you were going there. So you have all these people and all this desperation, and a lot of people died in horrific situations. And you know what? They're caught because they're afraid they're going to go to hell.
That's interesting. So, I had not heard it put quite like that before, but it makes perfect sense in the times that they lived in, huh?
Mm-hmm. Let's go back way back when. In the Civil War, we had mediumship was huge because you had all these young men from the South and from the North who were dying, and their loved ones wanted closure. So they would contact a medium all the time, a psychic medium, to give closure to see if their loved ones had gone to the other side. Then we go through time, right? Oh, not a psychic medium. Oh, the weirdos, whatever, right? And then you go through this whole period. But in parts of our world, in our country, psychic mediums were a dime a dozen, and people would go to them for closure, just like we do today. And granted, it can take on a different twist because thank goodness we've had a lot of media and a lot of promotion and in what this work is. You're doing a show on it. Who would have thunk, right? You know, we have programs on TV and stuff like that. But what's happened also within our industry is when you have programs on TLC and different things like that, that are different modalities of how it's presented, people are thinking that I'm running into people at Costco, tapping them on the shoulder and say, I have your mother here. Okay. Mm. That's not how this works. But what's happened on the flip side, there's a lot of charlatans who know how to make money, and they got a 50-50 chance to say, tap somebody on the shoulder at the mall and say, I have your mother here. So there's been this other side of the industry that's been unfortunately kind of destroyed, that people think that that's what it's like. And it's not at all, you know, not at all. So. Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because, and that's the reason why so many people are discrediting all the modalities and to say one bad bunch ruins the whole, or one bad apple ruins the whole bunch, or whatever, however that cliche goes. But and really why I started the show is because I was looking to a lot of stuff like this. And my question all along has always been, is it real? Because you do hear about all the charlatans. You hear about people who are super respected. What is that gentleman who had a show on Sci-Fi Network? He was a medium channeler and was found to be a fraud. But all these years on this television show, and he was talking to people about
Jen Edward.
That's his name, yeah. But people who are very highly respected, who are just to people from the other side, who then either are proven to be charlatans or are discredited in some unfortunate way, unfairly, right? Mm-hmm. So the press jumps on those much more so than they jump on the successes that you've had. I've not heard of very many psychic medium cases that were solved that were put at the foot of a psychic medium. We don't hear a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I hear someone's a psychic medium in psychic investigations, of course, the first thing I'm going to talk to them about is psychic investigations, because it's fascinating. For one, because I'm curious about how it all works. But for two, I think more people need to know about this stuff, that you are the stuff, some of the things that you're doing, you're helping a lot of people, and people don't realize that. The challenge is finding someone who's legit versus someone who's just out for a buck. Right?
Yeah. So, and here's the difference. Here's the difference.
Yeah.
Whether it's my work as a psychic detective or a psychic medium, the people who are legit truly do this work because it's a spiritual basis and you do it out of love. The people that get too caught up in ego, and it might say that some of these people started off really well, but what happens is that somewhere along their path, they lost their juju. They lost their focus. They lost what this is about. They lost their link. When you sometimes say, okay, they got a bad rap in media, maybe they needed to, because you know what? They lost their link. They lost that. Or there is people who, and you got to remember, I'm probably very opposite of the mediums in the, when they do a lot of platform work, where I look at this is, if you want to have a reading, go one-on-one with somebody, why would you go and pay $125 for a ticket when there's 500 people in an audience and you want to connect with somebody and you really think that you're going to get picked? Spend that money and go one-on-one to talk directly, because that's kind of like what your loved ones on the other side would want you to do. Sure. So I look at it is that you have to be kind of be cautious, not to say that those people, some of the people don't have, aren't true readings, but I always do the flip side. I'm constantly reproving things to myself, just like you're doing these shows, you're proving it to yourself, where I'm like, okay, I'm going to see if this person still reads one-on-one. And then you go on their website and a big disclaimer comes up that they're so busy reading or working platform work, they no longer can read. So why on earth would you go to anybody who doesn't have time for you? See what I mean? Makes so sense. If you're going to do this work, you know what? And you're going to get a big platform, you should be allocating 2 days at least to read for people. And this is obviously my personal opinion, but that's how I look at it, is that, listen, this work has different modalities. There's fabulous mediums out there and psychics who don't have a huge platform that are just awesome. And, you know, very interesting enough, this last year I was in a book called The Gift Within You, and it was 33 psychics and scientists actually involved proving the validation of psychic ability, and we had to be tested. And in this platform, everybody got a chapter and you get to tell what you do for your work and all this type of stuff. And the scientists come through who've been studying this for years to show the validation. Now that you had a book that proved science and psychics working together to show all of this, right? So many people that were in this book, these 33 psychics, there was people who were from little old ladies in Maine. There was people who don't have huge platforms. There was people from Australia. There's people from here, you know, everywhere around the world. And you'd be kind of surprised the people that you thought would be in there didn't pass the mustard. I love the field that I'm in. And hopefully I don't come off so cross that I'm, you know, diming people out. But it's very much so. Listen, I'm a firm believer. You know what? If you're going to do anything, you do it right. When I first started, I left a really successful real estate career. I decided to get back into this work when I had three kids under 3 years of age. And I was constantly crossing people over and feeding babies at night. I had Irish twins. My girls were 11 months apart and I had a three-year-old at home. And you know what? I was like, okay, I'm called again to do this. So I'm going to do it. I studied though. I studied for 2 years with people from England and Ireland and Scotland. And we would sit in circle and I'd practice. I'd figure out how this gig worked, right? And then I just kind of made it my own. And every psychic out there does their own, how they get that the information. Everybody does it different. No one does it the same. And that's one of the things I always think too. If you're going to do it, sure, it's natural ability, but you have to kind of massage it a bit to make it your own and to make sure that you do it properly.
Can you tell me the name of that book again? I want to make sure that everybody got it, because it seems like something that people that are listening to the show would be interested in.
Sure. It's called The Gift Within You, and the author is Marianne Bohr.
Okay. I will try to find it and put a link to it in the show notes as well. But I would be remiss, because I definitely want to talk about your book, because I know that you have won some great awards from it. So I'm really curious, what is your book about and where can someone get it?
So my book is called Listen Up, The Other Side is Talking. And it's about everything we talked about tonight. It's about how to connect with spirit. It's about psychic investigations I did, stories in there. It's about how spirit works. It's kind of a how-to in reference to how this whole gig works. And it's an easy read. It's easy. It's informational. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's also through my website if you want to sign a copy. I have a second book coming out, though, which is in June. And that's going to be The Spirit Within You. And that's really about how you can work with spirit and how to ground your energy, which is super important after a pandemic and during a pandemic and your whole lifetime. That'll be out this summer.
Great. Well, if you think about it and you can send me some information on that book as well, I'm happy to put it up once it's ready to be purchased so people can get it.
Excellent.
Can you pre-order it? Is it a pre-order possibility?
Not yet. You will be though, able to. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like something that's right up my alley. So I'll definitely be one of the first in line to get it. I say this every time because these conversations to me are absolutely fascinating. I could talk to people for hours and hours and hours, especially someone with your gifts, because we really just have scratched the surface. And I feel like I'm saying that every show, but we really truly have only scratched the surface. I know that you do one-on-ones readings. If someone wanted to reach out to you personally to schedule a reading or for whatever reason, what's the best way to do that?
You know what? It's really simple. You just go to my website, which is psychicmediumkelly.com, and Kelly is spelled K-E-L-L-E. And you can go to the calendar and schedule the appointment that way. It's pretty simple. I read for people all over the country, all over the world. And this is important for people to understand, although I do one-on-one readings when I have an office, you don't have to be in front of somebody physically to do a reading, because the link is there and the information's the same. I do readings by Skype, Zoom, FaceTime, just by phone, by voice. Technology's kind of caught up with spirit, which is good. It's made it easy for us. And so it's a really good space for us to be able to, a psychic medium to be able to do our work.
Well, that's great to know, because I know I do know a lot of people who would say, how can you do this miles and miles and miles away? You don't need to do that in person anymore. You can actually do it through technology. So it's important people to understand that it is possible. The connection does happen. It doesn't have to be in close personal contact. The universe is the universe, and these contacts will happen wherever you are.
You're right. And guess what? This is what people also have to remember. When you have a reading, it's like a spiritual gift back to yourself. Spirit is very organized on the other side. They know somehow something's going to get my name 2 years ago. They're going to have a reading. They're going to refer me, whatever. And they're ready for you. So of course they're going to connect in, and of course they're going to be there for you. Why wouldn't they be? They've been waiting.
Kelly, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And I'm one of those that's missing out because I don't have an iPhone. So I can't do the Clubhouse thing, which is very sad for me. But if you don't have an iPhone, you can't be on Clubhouse. We talked before we started taping about a YouTube series you're working on now. Is that right?
Yeah. So every Monday I do a message, 10-minute quick hit on what's happening for the week, information, guidance, that kind of thing from spirit. Pull some cards here and there once in a while. And you can find me on YouTube, which is called Kel's Corner. and corner spelled with a K. And you can see that every week. The other thing that I have the opportunity of doing is on Monday at 6 o'clock Eastern time, I do a show with two great gals, and it's called Two Psychics and a Shaman. And it's call in. We answer questions. We tune into you. And that's been pretty fabulous. So you can grab some great psychic advice that way.
But that's on Clubhouse, right?
Correct. And the other one's on YouTube.
That was FOMO, the fear of missing out. It's terrible. I need to go out and buy an iPhone. I'm sure the show is fantastic. So if you are on Clubhouse, I would urge you to check them out, because inevitably it's bound to be just fantastic. So, Kelly, thank you so much again for coming on. This is great information that you've given us. And I look forward to at some point in time, maybe having you back and finishing up our conversation, because it's been kind of left like a cliffhanger in some ways.
I think that's a great idea. Thanks for having me, Will.
No, happy to have you. Thank you so much for listening today. Like I mentioned, if you'd like to connect with Kelly, maybe book a reading with her, I'll leave some links in the show notes for you, including the direct links to where you can get your hands on her book or books, where her shows are and all that. As always, please don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. And send us a voice message on SpeakPipe. I've left links to do both of those in the show notes as well. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, feedback on the show or the guests. And your message may one day actually make it on the show itself, so give it a try. We also love sharing other people's stories and would love to share yours, so feel free to reach out if you'd like to come on the show. You can join us on Facebook at The Skeptic Metaphysician, or email me directly. The address, you guessed it, also in the show notes. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we'd appreciate you throwing us a 5-star rating and leaving us a review if you like the show. That's all for now. Thanks again for listening in. We'll see you again on the next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Till then, take care.